Is there a God? If I asked that question here and asked you to respond by raising your hands, I'm sure I would get every hand in the house up. If we were to go throughout the community and go into places like this, religious houses, church buildings, and ask the same question, you would get similar type response from that group. Their hands would go up. Yes, we believe in God. What I want to do is examine or think and talk about people who don't believe in God. You've got the atheist that says there is no God. You've got the agnostic that doesn't care. What I want to do is look at something that would maybe help us deal with them when we run across them, Nate, because you're not going to run across them in here. If they don't believe in God or don't care, you're not going to find them in a religious assembly. So trying to appeal to them from this standpoint is not going to work. You're going to meet them in the workplace. You're going to meet them in the marketplace. You're going to meet them in places like that. And you're going to have to deal with them from a different standpoint than you're used to dealing with folks on religious matters. Don't pull a Bible out because they don't care. If the God does not exist to them or they don't even believe in God, then a Bible and the scriptures are not going to mean anything to them. The Bible to them is not self-proving. It is not something you can go to for them and say, here, this is authoritative. This proves my point. No, it does not to them. What you've got to do is convince them that there is a God. So you can put your Bibles away tonight. I'm not going to be going to one, sorry. Because what I want to do is deal with somebody who doesn't care about a Bible. So is there a God? Let's make some observations. And that's what I'm going to do tonight, is just make some logical observations and try to string them together or interlace them or cross them over, whatever, that will help us maybe in dealing with them. This is not a 1, 2, 3, 4 step that you need to go through with somebody. These are just some things that you need to think about when you're dealing with somebody that says there is no God. The first thing you need to talk about is the idea of creation. And it just happened. That idea that somebody is dealing with, looking at it, and talk to somebody that says that there's no God and say, well, you're telling me that this just happened. That what we're looking at out here, nothing or something came out of nothing. There was something that was existing after something did not exist. So when you've got the idea that it just happened, you're violating the physical laws of our universe. You never get something from nothing. So the idea of what we got here just happening does not make sense to us. What makes better sense is the idea of a creation. The fact that something started this. Something created this. So if you're talking with that person, stress the idea that our laws of physics do not allow something from nothing. The next thing you might want to look at is the beginning. And I've got that backwards there. Okay, but in the beginning, there has to be a start to everything. If we look at our existence and the way that we deal with things, our laws of physics, we are bound by time. Everything we do starts and ends. Everything that we deal with is bound by time. That is the fourth dimension of our existence, is time. So there had to be a beginning. The concept of infinity is that. It is just a concept for us. We cannot grasp that. You know, sit down sometimes and think about that. The idea of time without end. And then add a day. it's a difficult concept for us. At some point your head, starts to hurt when you start thinking about things like that. So everything has got a beginning. The next thing we need to look at in considering this is the idea of intelligent design. Look at the world around you and tell me it just happened. The person who doesn't believe in God will, they'll say, well, over the course of millions of years and billions of trials and permutations and all of these things, we got to where we are today. Look at the world that's out there and how completely complex it is. Just go take a walk in the woods sometimes and look at a plant. Get down on your knees and look at moss. How simple it is, but how complex it is. And tell me that just happened. Think about the planet's interaction, or the moon around the Earth, and the fact that it controls our tides and keeps us in regulation in other things. The Earth orbiting the sun gives us our seasons, so that crops can be planted and grow and harvested and that just happened? The person who does not believe in God cannot give you an answer other than billions and billions of years, something just happened. So what I want to tell you is that the conclusion you'd have to reach from that kind of analysis and going through that is, yes, there is a God. There is a creator. And at some point as we go through this, we're going to start, and you can probably pick the point yourself, start thinking about the person who doesn't care. At some point they're going to need to care about them. But we've reached the conclusion that yes, there is a God. There is a root cause to what we see out there before us. The world that we see, there is a root cause, and that is a creator. That is God. You do not get something from nothing. There has to be a beginning to an existence. There's got to be a beginning of physical laws. So when you're dealing with a person who says no, take that point with them. Make that point with them. Now let's look at the characteristics of God or this creator. Now we've said that yes, there is a God. We've gotten to that point. So one thing about that God is he is powerful. Again, look at the world around you and think of the power required to create it, to make it work, put it together. Before I was retired, I was a planning engineer for the Georgia Power Company. And we had projects that we'd do, and we would plan details. We would plan things that, well, what if this happens? What if that happens? You'd go through some what-if analysis, and you would think about it, and, okay, can we do this part of the project at the same time we're doing this part of the project? And God speaks that kind of thing into happening. I have a hard enough time in... Most of us do, thinking more than one thing at a time. It's been proven, they say, multitasking. No, you can't do that. You can only do one thing at a time. Now, you may switch back and forth very quickly, but you can only do one thing at a time. But this creation that is out there is so intricate and so detailed. And think about this, the fact that God knows the number of the hairs on your head. Not so bad for me and Brian, that's easy to count, that's quick. But God knows that. There's, how many people here that he knows it about, but everybody that exists or ever existed. For me, I go into the idea of thinking of computing power, what it would take to no. God just does that. That is power. power that we cannot understand, that is required, that kind of power for the creation. And then again, intelligence. Again, we think of something, you know, we're going to cook something. You're either pulling something out of a recipe box or the recipe box of your brain and going through it just to remember, to do what you... God speaks things into being. You know, I've sat and thought sometimes about the process of creation and, you know, what it would take for me to do it. And, okay, do this and make sure that that happens here. And, you know, God's intelligence and power allows him to just think it or speak it, and it is perfect. There are no trials. There are no permutations. There's no evolving something into something else because, whoops, that didn't work. We've got to fix that on the next model of it, the next release. We've got to fix that. But God is all-powerful and intelligent. Those are characteristics of God. Now let's think about this. Why was man created? You go out into nature. Sherry and I do a lot of hiking. I like to get out in the woods. And you go out there and you realize that that does not need man. It doesn't need you. Mankind could disappear off the face of the earth and would not be missed. The earth would keep on moving, doing what it does. The animal kingdom, the plant kingdom, all would continue on. The earth does not need man. Oops. So, the earth does not need man. Why was man created? Now, I don't like to get on the why kick much, because God will tell us the why of things if he wants us to know. If God wants you to know the answer to something, it's in the scripture for us. But the why was man created? Why the creation at all? We don't know that. But it's here and we do that. But think about this. God created man for a reason. And one of the reasons that I would submit to you is that there is intelligence in mankind that is required to communicate. Now, the animal kingdom, animals communicate to a certain extent. You know, to a certain degree, animals communicate with one another, but not complex communication. Man's intelligence is required for the complex concepts that we deal with. So why was man created? The earth doesn't need man. There's got to be another reason for that. The intelligence of man was needed, and his intellect was needed, because God wanted a relationship with mankind. God wanted a relationship with mankind is why he was created. So now we're talking about why we are here. Not just it just happened that the person who doesn't believe in God wants to go to, but there is a reason why we were here. It's because God wants a relationship with mankind. Now, what is the nature of the relationship? What is the nature of the relationship God would have? Again, I said, God could have a relationship with the animals. But they're not capable of the complex concepts and intellectual actions that man is. That's required for the relationship that God wanted. So let's make some observations about that and say that the relationship God wants requires communication. It requires man and God communicating. That's what's required in a relationship. And the communication requires intelligence. And animals, as I said, they communicate a little bit. Small amount of intelligence required for their low level of communication. But man, great intellect to express the concepts that we do in a relationship. And God wanted that in man. So therefore, let's look at this. God is the creator. Mankind is the created. God existed prior to us. He created us, and we are his creation. We are his creature. God wanted a relationship, and in order for a relationship to exist, there has to be communication and relationship. So, God communicates with mankind. It's one of the conclusions we'd have to reach. He created us to have a relationship and have intellect. Therefore, God communicates with mankind. Another conclusion we can reach from that is that man is subservient to God. God created us. The thing that you create, you have power over. As the potter over the clay, you have power over that. So mankind is subservient to God. So God created mankind. Mankind is subservient. God communicates his will to man. God wants his will made known to his creation. So, in other words, why give the man intellect? Why give him communication skills? Why have a relationship with him if there's not something to be communicated to him? And the communication would be his will. Now, a lot of times we think of will in terms of law and rules and don't do this and don't do that, do this, do that. No, that is just one's will, making one's mind known to somebody is communicating your will. Well, let's look at this. How does God communicate with mankind? Well, there are a couple of ways that God can communicate. He can communicate with man directly. Speak to him directly. Now, we all are aware, we're familiar with the scriptures, that God did that throughout the scriptures. Under the old law, the new law, created or communicated directly with people. He also communicated through other people. God sent prophets, examples of that, to messengers to communicate his will, to let people know. And he also had his written word available to him, to man. The idea that God can speak to us directly. He can speak to Jack, so Jack can tell me. Or he can write it down for me to have. And other conclusions we can make from putting some of this together is that God, again, is the creator. He created everything. He does exist. God communicates his will to man. God makes his will known to man. And if he has got that kind of power and intellect, he is able to preserve his communications. What he has told somebody is his will, he's able to keep that so somebody else can know what his will is. Mankind is subservient to God's will. Again, the creation is subservient to the creator. The clay is subservient to the potter. How many of you in your jobs do not care what your boss thinks about what you should be doing? Unless you're a millennial. There are a lot of people that don't. But if you want to stay in that job and work that job, you need to be concerned about what your boss wants, because you are subservient. And God, the creator, we are subservient to him. So we are subservient to his will and that follows from that, we must seek His will. If you're going to be pleasing to that employer, you've got to know what he wants. It may be as simple as going in and say, you know, hey boss, what you want done today? What do you want me to do this with this? How do I handle this? But you must seek your boss's will. Mankind must seek God's will. Hey, we've got God as the creator. He's all powerful. He made everything. He created man. Man is subservient to God. Man needs to know God's will. So how can mankind know God's will? Well, first of all, seek out his communications. As I said, find out what he has said. Find out what he has said to somebody else. Find out what he has said that's been written down. Seek out his communication. Seek out what God has said at different times and in different places to different people. Find out what God wants. Seek out his communication. And then use your intelligence to determine the veracity of these preserved communications. Veracity just meaning the truthfulness of it, the soundness of it. So man is seeking out what God has said, what he has said to somebody else and told me, what they've told me, and what has been written about what God has said. I've got to determine the truthfulness and the soundness of that. I've got to use my intellect to determine what is God's communications with man. Well, the preserved word is the written word, the biblical text. That is what we need to look at as communication from God. So we started out earlier, at the beginning, talking about don't believe in God. Now what we're looking at is, okay, we've come up with some ideas to convince a person that there is a God. Now we need to go beyond that and get to them the importance of knowing God, not just acknowledging him as existing, but knowing him, seeking out his written word, the biblical text. That's all that's available to us now. Because you look in that text and it will tell you that it was revealed once and that's it. Well, how do we determine the truthfulness or the veracity of these preserved communications? Well, we've got to look at our Bibles and see what's in it. How sound is it? Can we trust what's in it? The first thing you've got is what's contained in it, what is known as the canon, the books that are there. You've got to depend on scholars who in the past have looked at this and said, these people wrote these things, we had faith in them. We're depending on putting our faith in others in the past who made a determination of what was sound communication from God. And then in our day, the thing that we're looking at is translations. Looking at different translations. There's probably one for everything you could think of, but different translations. Make sure that you have a sound translation for these preserved communications. What God has said, you want to know what he said. You don't want to know what somebody else thinks they said or feels like God said or what they would have liked for God have said. You want to know what his direct communications are. You want to know the soundness of it, the truthfulness of it. So depend on your translation. Make sure you've got a good one. So we have talked about, is there a God? And I hope what I've been able to do is give you some things that will tell you that there is a God and how to convince somebody that there is a God, some things that they should consider. And you're not going to sit down with a person over one cup of coffee that doesn't believe in God, that is an atheist, and say a few little sentences, and they're going to say, oh yeah, there is a God. It's going to take time for a person to look at the rational, logical look at the universe and accept that there is a God. And then once you've reached that point, then you can build on it and start teaching them the truth by looking at these other ideas of man must be subservient to God. Man must seek God's will. God's will is available. We've got to seek God's will. Teaching them that. Finally, some conclusions to look at. God is the creator. God created it all. Mankind is subject to God. We are the creation. God is the creator. We are subject to him. And finally, mankind can know God's will. Man can know what God wants from him. He created us, we are subject to him, and we can know what he wants from us. Song has been announced. If you would get your books out. Hopefully I've left you with a few things that will allow you to deal with the person who says that there is no God. Some points to start a conversation with them about. Not to win an argument on the first blow, as it were, but give you some tools to look at. One of the things that we do as a group, whether it is by tradition or custom or whatever, is at some point in the service make an offer to everyone, anyone in the building, if they have a spiritual need, to make it known. If it is in fundamental obedience, if it is needing the prayers, if it is to make a public confession of something that is done, that is an opportunity that is provided. Jack's going to lead a song. We're going to stand and sing it. And if we can help it, please come forward and make your thoughts known to us.